So this week I posed a question on Facebook, and some of you replied to that. When you think of famous couples, what couples come to mind? Stan answered Adam and Eve, AJ, Will and Jada, my friend from college, Wes, Bonnie and Clyde, my Aunt Carolyn, or Anne's Aunt Carolyn, the first couple, the Obamas, Wes from college again, Tom and Jerry, my mom, dating yourself, Liz and Richard. Liz Taylor, I'm assuming. Karen, yeah, no, with an answer like Liz and Richard, Ozzie and Harriet, and Rob and Laura don't make you old. And just to prove how young she is, this morning she said Peggy and Al Bundy. My mother-in-law, Romeo and Juliet, and my sister, Harold and Maude. What do you think of when you think of famous couples? And with answers like that, you can blank that out. We know all those are famous couples. I think it used to be on there. Fred and Wilma. Archie and Edith. But what about famous couples from the Bible? What famous couples do you think about from Scripture? Adam and Eve, Stan even mentioned that one. Samson and Delilah. Ruth and Boaz, a famous biblical couple. Or Abraham and Sarah. Or David and Bathsheba. But perhaps there's no more intriguing couple in all of Scripture than the original Christmas couple of Joseph and Mary. The gift they would share together was a gift of God's grace in the choosing of these two individuals to be the mother and father to the Christ child, the Savior of all the earth. The gift and the grace of which God chose them did not come, however, without a great challenge. Let me invite you this morning to use your imagination and for just a moment, imagine what it must have been like to be one of those two figures of this most famous original couple of Christmas. To have walked in their shoes in this most precious thing that God chose Mary and Joseph to do.
Caesar, you are ordered to participate in the census of all people. Each man will return to the land of his ancestors, along with each member of his family.
What if it's a four-day journey?
Then you would be wise to leave soon.
You have 1 month, and any resistance will be dealt with. Set!
We're very close.
Bethlehem. We're here. We will find a place. I promise. Place for my wife and me to stay.
I'm sorry, there is no room here.
place for us. My wife, she's in pain. Is there a place for us? No. Open the door!
Go away!
Help!
Please, Lord. Will you not provide for us?
Is there someone? Help us!
Joseph! Joseph!
Mary! Mary! I beg you! I ask not your home, but any place you have!
It's all I can do.
Mercure, Gaspar.
A star shall come forth.
So what would it be like to have God choose you to parent the Savior of the world? Let's see how God at work. Let's see how God was at work in the life of Joseph and Mary. Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. If you think that you have awesome and challenging responsibilities to attend to in your life, imagine the task set before these two. A task given them technically before they were even entirely married, although the Bible tells us that they were pledged or betrothed to one another. So how much do we really know about these two that can be called the most famous couple in all of Scripture? Consider Joseph. We probably know even less about him than we do about Mary. Matthew 1:6 tells us that Joseph's father's name was Jacob. Matthew 13:55 tells us that Joseph was a carpenter, one who works with wood. The first 17 verses of Matthew chapter 1 trace Jesus' genealogy as showing Joseph to clearly be of the family line of David. Yet perhaps the best thing we can say about Joseph is recorded in the scripture in the words of Matthew 1:19, where the Bible calls him a righteous man. So what about Mary? Arguably, Mary is the most well-known woman of all the Bible. But we really don't know all that much about the mother of Jesus either. We know that she was the young daughter of a Jewish family, probably a poor family, and she was clearly tied to the ancestry of David. Most agree historically that Mary was likely somewhere around the age of 15 when she was betrothed to Joseph. Amy pulled off 15 quite well. We can be certain of the truth about Mary, that she was submissive and full of faith concerning God's will. When she was told by the angel Gabriel that she would conceive of a child of God, her response was, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." So God chose these two. Two individuals full of righteousness and a love for God. God chose them to be parents of the child who would truly bring God's love to all of the people. Consider with me this morning three things about the original Christmas couple, Joseph and Mary. Consider their test of faith, their trust in the Father, and their triumph over the future. So first of all, let us consider the test of their faith. Verse 18 says of Mary that this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Suppose God had delivered a message to you that he was about to do something in your life that by man's understanding would be inconceivable, unexplainable, basically unbelievable. You know, a miracle. What if I shared with you that God had given me a message that I was going to be able to fly, to float through the air without the aid or help of any mechanism other than just my own body? Some of you would say, you know, he's a pretty nice guy. And someone call the padded truck. After all, people don't just go around flying. They don't go around saying God has given them the ability to fly. It just sounds pretty crazy. And what Joseph and Mary were about to have God involve them in would have seemed to the people around them nothing less than crazy. The thought that Mary would be with child without ever having been with a man, to most the very notion of it would have seemed ludicrous. The people would have sneered and said, "Impossible." They probably would have sneered and said something else worse than impossible. Yet we need to remember that the Bible says that with God, all things are possible. What would Mary and Joseph believe? What would they tell their parents? What would they tell their friends? Would those skeptics around them have faith enough to believe what God had chosen to do? God chose Joseph and Mary because he saw the faith that they had. But God knew what he was about to do, that their faith would grow even more. Just because Mary and Joseph would become the parents of the Christ child, it did not promise them an easy road. As a matter of fact, their faith was tested to an extreme measure. God did not create any miracle to exempt them from making that required journey to Bethlehem. God did not provide 5-star accommodations for this original Christmas couple on that night, that they desperately needed to find lodging because Mary was about to give birth. God did not exempt them from some of the very severe tests of their faith. Yet Joseph and Mary trusted God because they knew that whatever his plan was, they would trust in it. Although you and I may have surrendered our lives, and we may have chosen to live for God every day, it does not promise that things will always be smooth sailing or a bed of roses. We too will see the test of our faith from time to time. But we can do like Joseph and Mary did in the test of their faith. We can be certain to trust in the Father. Look again at verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Can't you imagine Joseph and Mary introducing their children and saying, "And this is Jesus. He's our son, but he's also the Son of God." I'm sure that all the other mothers and fathers around Joseph and Mary would respond by saying, "Ew, ma'am. Isn't that special?" Think about Joseph and Mary as parents for a moment. They were to raise a son who was the Savior of the world. A son not conceived of man, but brought about through the power of God. Although they were convinced that this was God's plan, I'm quite certain they often wondered just how things were going to take shape. There's all kinds of people in the world who give you advice on raising children. There's a million and one books on the subject, and videos and seminars and all sorts of stuff. As fosters, Anna and I have to be in constant training on how to raise children. But of course, this wasn't 2012. This was a time and day quite different from our own. I'm sure even though there was still plenty of people out there to give advice on how to raise their children. But who could lead Joseph and Mary on how to raise the Son of God? When we need to know the way of something, we can always trust the Father. What was true in Joseph and Mary's day is still true in this day. When no one else has the answer for us, when no one else seems to understand, when no one else seems to care, it is our trust in the Father that will never fail us. I can almost imagine Joseph and Mary having a conversation and saying to one another, "Yes, we know this is all true. But how do we explain it to others? How will others react to us and our son of God?" Joseph and Mary could not look to science for security in sharing with others that this was real. They couldn't look to society for an encouraging word to say to them, "Well, this just has to be God at work." They could only look to the supreme maker of heaven and earth and all that is in it. They could only look to the Heavenly Father and trust him. We need to understand this in the life that we each live as well. There will be times that will seem as if no one understands. There will be times that no one seems sympathetic. There will be times when no one on earth has the answer that we are looking for, that the encouragement we seek is absent. But we can still find our hope and our comfort in the Heavenly Father who is our trust in any and all of the tests that we face in this life. There was never a day that went by in the life of Joseph and Mary that they could not look to the Father and trust Him for their needs, their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Nor is there ever a day that you or I face where our trust in the Father will ever fail us. Whatever it is that might be weighing you down this holiday season, wearing on your mind, wearing on your emotions, why not turn it totally over to Him and say, through this test of faith, I choose to trust my Heavenly Father. Joseph and Mary, as that original Christmas couple, saw the test of their faith. They clung to their trust in the Father. And finally, Joseph and Mary found their triumph over the future. What Joseph and Mary knew from the words of the prophets of a Messiah that was coming, they now knew with their own eyes, and most of all with their own hearts, that the hope of the people had come. Now, no matter what they faced in any of the days ahead, that they had seen the face of God in their child of God, who would even deliver them from their sins. Joseph and Mary had come to the realization that each of us must come to in our lives, and that is, if we have Jesus, we really, ultimately, have no problems, but only one marvelous solution. The solution is a Savior whose name is Jesus. Our only ultimate problem is where we're going to spend eternity. I know we have some things that give us a lot of strife here on earth. Disease, debt, day-to-day disappointments. These things sometimes come. But really, all of that is trivial and is not, on the grander scale, what really matters. We all have tough times in our lives. But one day, time will be no more. And it will be our time to be forever with God. Some days were tough as nails for Joseph and Mary. However, they knew that there was no one who had come to free them from their sins. I'm going to start that over because I put an extra word in. Some days were tough as nails for Joseph and Mary. However, they knew that there was one who had come to free them from their sins and to secure them their relationship with God forever. They knew the one who had come was the Son of God, was their Son of God. Romans 8:28 says that God is working all things together for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Joseph and Mary knew that God had called them to this place in their lives for a magnificent purpose. And they knew no matter what, that they were safely within God's plan. Do you know that you are safely in God's plan? Just as Joseph and Mary knew that they had triumph over all things because of Jesus, do you know that you have triumph over all of the future? It only comes through faith in God and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your Savior. Have you said yes to a triumphant future? Have you said yes to Jesus? Today is the test of your faith. Will you trust the Father who sent His Son and find Jesus as your triumph over all the future? One thing is needful: your response.